This is Valerie Thompson. Welcome you back to part two of The General Speaks. As promised, HA will be looking back at the storming of the home of the Strong Philip by the army during the revolution. This is someone who was a member of the National Liberation Army, the NLA, who was killed in an operation involving former Army Major Leon Bogle Cornwall minutes after the deadly bomb blast at Queen's Park. Up to today, the general has some doubts about the manner in which Strong Philip was killed. We return to the interview.
H.A., I want to switch focus here and look at some of the dark side of the revolution. At some point, many Grenadians who started to become disenchanted with the process could be heard whispering that a revolution was starting to devour its own children. Fingers were pointed at the arrest without charge or trial of some persons who helped to make the revolutionary process itself. One of the big names was Strong Philip, and you were very close to him. It is alleged that he was seen as becoming anti-revolutionary and had to be gotten rid of, and the bomb blast at Queen's Park was used as the pretext to physically eliminate him. What's your response to this?
To the meeting? Okay, let me tell you something about the whole Strong Philip thing. Strong Philip was a guy who was my very good friend. I'm the one who brought Strong Philip into the revolutionary process. We used to work garden together, one help one another, clean up lands and all kind of things. But on the morning of the revolution, we had Strong Philip and the first cataract. After the revolution, somebody went up on the foot. And Strong Philip was up there, kind of in charge with some of the men after them, because you know the police had back in the place. And George from that morning again Cresswell with Strong Philip. Strong Philip didn't want to be a revolutionary, he wanted to be a bandit. Strong Philip wanted to take some of their men and go and break a bank. Barclays Bank to be said. That is the British. Not understanding political connections and so. Because the British government is one of the government who supported the revolution. All the money for the airports and so we got England. All the chunks and so for the Eastern Main Road and England. When I did get to know the truth, one of the guys come and tell me, look what Strong Philip wanted to do. One of the guys we had, I ain't gonna call his name, come and say, H.A., Strong Philip want us to go and break a bank. Why? So I tell them that nonsense. I say, we can't be doing that kind of thing, I call myself a revolutionary banditry. And you know, Strong Philip get crestfallen from that, from the first morning of the revolution. Right? You know, Gary had a place they used to call, did they sometimes used to call it again?
Evening Palace.
Mm-hmm. And one of the guys come and tell me, H.A., you know, Strong Philip take a lot over when he go in the Evening Palace and he take away almost all the people drinks they had there and bring it up in the house. Well, now I could hide these things for Morris. You know. I told Morris what this was all about. But Morris made the mistake and he went to tell Moran Cohn. Moran Cohn didn't go want a man like Strong Philip around because he can't bulldoze Strong Philip. Strong Philip is not an easy fella to deal with. And if you notice, when the whole incident with Strong Philip took place, Morris was out of the country. And it was this Cornwall, when the thing took place in Queen's Park.
That's the bomb blast
you're talking about. One of the guys said, Strong Philip, to the general with the Bootland boys and some other fellas, well, they planted the night before.
When you say they were done by the party, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of that. But this day I have no truth about it. But what happened is, my dad met with some other fellas of them, and they decide that they have to lock up John Philip, and they find Morris for being angry with them. So they send some men, Cornwall on it, called the hit to go to John Philip's house, and who is it? He had some other guys, I can't remember if Lee was there too or not, or who. They were supposed, as far as I understand, nobody told me nothing about this
operation?
No. Nobody told me nothing about it. As far as I understand, they were supposed to go and arrest the man. But what them see is that another guy who was supposed to go on the operation with him and didn't go, called John Philip and tell him they're coming for him. And when the police, when the soldiers reached him, to say John Philip opened fire on them. Well, the people in the neighborhood tell me that too. Soon as the Land Rover stopped by his gap, scatter bullet at them. And that is how the whole thing takes place. But the truth about it is, that should have been handled differently. As a man who took part in the revolution, should have been called in and talked to. But they sent soldiers, man.
And soldiers would normally shoot first and ask questions after. Whereas the police would arrest you.
Yeah.
And then ask questions. But soldiers shoot first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they send soldiers with the instruction to get the man, and the man open bullet on you. You know what's going to happen. So that is the scene. Short film.
Okay, H.A.?
That is regrettable though. Because George Philip was very loyal to me. Eh? Anything I asked George Philip to do is get it done.
H.A., I have heard reports that the NJM knew from day one who planted that deadly bomb at Queen's Park, because the perpetrators were trained in bomb making by the NJM itself through a foreign expert who was brought into the country by the NJM to teach comrades how to make bombs as part of the struggle to remove the Eric Gehry government from power. How true is that? Because it is said that the Woodlawl boys knew, and one in particular knew how to make bombs. And the bomb that probably was used at Queen's Park was very familiar, the making of that bomb was very familiar to the NJM.
Well, the truth about it, I ain't know about nobody brought in to teach to make bomb. I ain't saying it happened. I ain't saying it happened. Because I was left out from so many things that nothing surprised me now that they do behind my back. Don't be surprised if Morris said no. Don't be surprised. I am not saying no. Because from what I experienced from October 19th, and what I experienced in the jail, I ain't saying no to nothing. Nothing is surprising me that happened. Because things used to happen, and Morris said no. Things used to happen, and Morris said no.
I'm going to come to some questions about that a little later. H.A., I also heard that the NJM had its own medical team and used some sympathetic doctors and nurses to help treat any of its military wing that got injured. Our information that one person got a bullet wound during training and a small hotel in the south around BBC Beach area owned by family members of one of the leaders was used to keep him in secret to receive medical care and attention. How true is this?
First time I heard that. The NJM had secret medical people.
They had doctors and nurses who were sympathetic to them. So, my understanding is that one of the NJM military person in training got a bullet wound in the leg. And he was taken to, I think it was Beverly.
I ain't saying it happened. But it would surprise me if that happened and a certain clique did that.
But as commander, you should know if any of your men get injured.
Listen, I'm telling you, things used to go on and I don't know. But when I ask Morris about it, he will hear no. And especially if I'm out in the country, and you would observe, this whole joint leadership thing was supposed to finish before I come back. Anytime out in the country and I come back, something happens.
Which takes me to a question about the term that was used. Okay, you were the general of the army. Morris was commander-in-chief of the army. But then we heard this term of the day-to-day commander of the army, who seemed to be Ewart Lane. Explain that to us.
Let me tell you something. The first time I heard the term used, day-to-day commander, was in the court. In the court, I heard this talk about the day-to-day commander. Let me tell you how I put it. That was an invention for usurpation. A Bernard Code invention for usurpation. There was no such thing. There was no such post in the army. Even people, if you ask anybody in the army about day-to-day commander, the first time I hear that was in the court. We had the commander-in-chief, we had the general, we had two lieutenant colonel also, and Lane, who was deputy commander. We had Einstein Wizard, who was the chief of staff, and that was the command. Then we had the lawyers, the captain, the lieutenant, and so on. I never heard the term day-to-day commander till I reached the court. That was the term that they used to use up the function of the commander of the army.
A Bernard Code ploy.
Yeah. His invention. That was a Bernard Code invention. Right?
General, there was an incident in St. Patrick during the period of the revolution, when members of the Stanislaus family who were visiting the island from England were killed in what was said was an act committed by a Muslim group that was branded as counter-revolutionary. There are reports that it was soldiers from the army who actually did the act in a failed operation against the Muslim, Dokkan Ayub and them. The information that we picked up is that the soldiers had information that Doc and Ayub were moving in a particular vehicle at night and a roadblock was set up to intercept them. However, the Stanislaus folks were using a similar vehicle on the night and it was them who came up to the roadblock and the soldiers opened fire on them, thinking it was Doc and Ayub. We heard that the soldiers realized that they had fired upon the wrong people, but a few had been killed already, and then an order was given to pass out everybody in keeping with what we see. Dead men tell no tales. What do you know about the alleged army involvement in this killing in St. Patrick?
Well, the report I got about that is that Duke and them was trying to get at Tad was the commander in
St. Bartholomew.
Mm-hmm. But what happened? Tad had gone in a different vehicle, right? But these boys were traveling in a vehicle similar to his own.
Similar to who?
Similar to the one Tad was used.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Doc and Ayub?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they shoot up the man thinking it was Tad.
Because what was said?
That is the report I got.
That's the report you got.
I ain't telling them that it's the truth, you know, because I get to realize now that I used to get a lot of false reports. Not now, but a few years ago, I realized that I used to get a lot of false reports, including the execution of the vote. What I got? What the report I got?
Because I can say it now. I can say it now because, like I say, dead men tell no tale. But the late Crispin Bogman Hippolyte was looking for one of the soldiers who was on the operation,
yeah,
so I could have interviewed him. Because I understand that the person who headed the operation in which it is alleged that the army shot the Stanislaus people is someone from the Mardi Gras area who is known to be very close to you.
Someone from the
Mardi Gras area. And maybe you can ask him, because he came and knocked your door a little while ago. Now, General, as part of the allegation surfacing that a revolution was devouring its own, who helped the NGM charge the March 13, 1979 process? There were whispers in the country that one of your well-known activists, Ralph Thompson, of Montparnasse, Tempe area, was picked up and branded as a counter-revolutionary and locked up in prison, where he subsequently died. It is alleged that he was poisoned by his once loyal comrades for turning his back on the revolution. What say you, General, on this allegation?
First time I heard that.
First time hearing that Thompson was picked up? Or first time
I know he was picked up. Mm-hmm. I know he was picked up. And that is one of the things that I warned Boris about. As for Boran Court Party, they'll lock up the whole country. They'll lock up the whole country. Because I noticed there was a targeting, I told Boris and I observed that, a targeting of certain people. And whenever Boris was out of the country, these people were picked up. Mass Spence. Remember Miss Spence? Mass Spence?
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Pair. Boris was out of the country. Alistair Hughes. All these people was very close to Boris. And so you look at the line for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
With your lips for yourself.
Because I want to come to that particular question.
And what I get to realize afterwards is that whenever Boris is leaving the country, certain detention forms went to Boris to get him to sign it. So the person who acted for Boris, they had to sign the detention order. You get it?
Mm-hmm. Because there were always these constant reports, which you just alluded to.
Yeah.
That whenever Bishop was out of the island and Code was in charge, he used the power to fulfill some of his own personal ambitions.
A case in point,
you mentioned Leslie Pair, but there is also talk that he did the same with the Torchlight newspaper. And then also the seizure of the Coca-Cola bottling plant from the Taylor family, following a dispute with an NGM aligned trade union. There were also these reports. Chalky was a trade union leader.
I guess so at the time.
Mm-hmm. Thought it was Vince, but...
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm glad you mentioned Leslie Payne to me. When I came from prison, don't block that out. Put it down. Pray. Leslie Payne called me. He didn't call me directly. He called somebody because he didn't know my phone number. To get on to me, because I was very close to his wife's family, as you know.
The Montelu,
I was very close to them.
Yeah.
At one time, they had a car. I used to drive it for them. I taught Muriel to drive. I was very close to them. Close to his wife, too. So, Leslie Pair is the man that bring me up to date on the type of person Bernard Code was. He said from since Bernard Code is a little boy. They're little boys. If you're going in the bush behind Margot and there's Margot, he was the best. He said the boys buy have a bicycle and he want to hear what is the best. Right? He said Bernard Code think he's brighter than everybody else in the group. He said, even so to the point that when Bernard couldn't get the Ireland scholarship, he thought he would have committed suicide. He didn't do it then. But he attempted it after the March 13th, October 19th.
Elaborate on that. Explain that, so the people could hear what this was involving Bernard. Attempt to kill himself?
Huh?
Attempt to kill himself? Just commit suicide, you say?
He attempted committed suicide.
First time I'm hearing that.
Well, you would hear that, George, the man who tell me that would tell you that. When he realized the foolishness he did, and the Americans invaded the country and he was hiding somewhere.
Mount Parnassus. I understand he was...
When he was moving for... I know he was hiding in a house in Montjaloux, the Salam's house. He had some friends living there. And then they moved from there and they were going through the bush to go to somewhere else. And he wanted that guy to shoot them, he and his wife. Because he was telling the guy they were not able to undergo all that pressure. And he attempted to kill himself, to throw himself down a bank. But all he ended up getting is a bad back. Come to know he still suffered with a bad back. When he realized the foolishness he did, and he wouldn't be able to take the pressure, he tried to commit suicide. And I don't lie, because the man who was there with him would lie. Because he wanted that man to shoot him and his wife.
Talking about bad back, during the trial, Bernard Cole had made a statement that when, on October 19, when they left his home and they went to Fort Frederick, he had went down to some kind of dungeon because his back was hurting him and they put him there to lie down. And all these events that were taking place, including that of Morris, he didn't know about it.
What do you mean, bad back? They tried to commit suicide.
So it is not true that he was in some dungeon on Fort Frederick.
They are lying, man. The Darkhold he's talking about. You know the Darkhold? Is there anybody who grew up in Montjaloux and they know the Darkhold on Fort Frederick? That's what he's talking about. He's lying. He damn lied to.
Because when you met him, where you met him on the Fort Frederick? Because you spoke to him on that day.
Yeah.
Where did you meet him? Was he laying down?
Laying down what? He lied. I couldn't lie.
Okay.
Wow. That was a mouthful from the general. You heard him give details on an alleged attempt by Bernard Cole to commit suicide after the American troops landed on the island, 6 days after the army massacre to restore law and order in the Spice Isle. Like H.A. said, many things happened under his watch as commander of the PRA, but were kept away from him by those loyalists of Cole. We will be back with part 3 of the interview in the next hour with Hudson Austin.